In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Peter paints a realistic picture of our world. While theologies of glory surround us, while Christian testimonials are filled with delusions of a life that is wonderful and prosperous once one has found Jesus, never knowing adversity or problems, Peter instead turns to the solid basis of God's Word. He shows us the truth of what life in this world is like, for we live in a place where the Christ is rejected, hated, and held in contempt. His creation does not want him, does not want his word or his truth around, choosing its own will over the will of their God. And since they reject our Lord, their contempt may extend also to those who bear his name. And Scripture repeatedly warns us that in this world, the child of God will face persecution, trials, and affliction, that we who follow Christ follow carrying a cross. But this world is not simply something that happens to us. We're part of the sinful world that so troubles. Far too often we have lived both in the world and of the world. Daily we fall. Each day we usurp God's place, making ourselves our only God. And we hear his word, we see his standard, and we know that we have fallen. The realist listens to Peter's description of Christians and can't help but feel broken and challenged. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil, but bless. Their virtues we seldom manifest, and when we sometimes appear to do so, we more often point at our own goodness rather than the God who works in us and has declared us to be his own. We may be afflicted by sufferings, but how often are they, as Peter reminds us, simply the natural consequence of the sinful lives that we live? Yet we also know that even if we live outwardly righteous lives, we still may suffer. And so Christians ask the age-old question, why? Why do the children of God suffer? Must we live under a cross in this world? And since the answer of the word is yes, how are we to respond? Peter shows us that a sinful world will always be an uncomfortable, difficult place for the child of God. And so he reveals to us the plan of God. We respond in faith. While we may want to turn our eyes inward to brood over our trials, Peter instead directs us outward to the Christ. In your hearts, regard Christ, the Lord, as holy. He doesn't draw to our attention the small trials that we endure. He doesn't want us to dwell on the afflictions that we may or may not deserve in the eyes of the world. Instead, he would fix our eyes on the Savior, who truly faced undeserved, unearned afflictions and trials and death. If we read our selection this morning one verse farther, Peter puts it this way: Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. For our sin and rebellion, he was crucified, but we have received his holiness. Our hearts have been quickened in baptism, marked with his cross, and filled with Christ Jesus. Our once closed ears have been opened to the voice of the gospel. Our parched lips and souls have been nourished with body and blood. Our guilty consciences given the joyful absolution. His declaration sees us as the people Peter describes, by God's grace. This is all we need to survive. This is what we need to live in this world. For what is the worst affliction the world can give to the child of God? They think even death might be their final victory, but it only brings faster the blessings of our Father's kingdom for all eternity. We respond to our world in faith, knowing that in Christ Jesus we need not be troubled or fear. Peter would not have us, however, simply turn inward to escape the world. By faith in Christ we endure the assaults of the world, but he would have us also seek to proclaim Jesus while we endure those assaults. He would have us reflect the hope that fills us to a world that desperately needs the hope of our Redeemer. And so he goes on, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. He calls us to be ready to proclaim and defend the truth of the word. He calls us to know who we believe in, to know what we believe, to know why we believe, and to be ready to speak whenever the opportunity arises. Yet as important as that truth is, Peter would also remind us that our presentation of the truth is also important. The gospel is not to be given simply in the wrappings of arrogance or boasting or harshness, as if the truth of the message were dependent upon the earnestness, the zeal, the aggressiveness, or even the volume of the one speaking it. No, the apostle tells us, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. For the power of this truth lies not in the one who speaks it, but in the Lord whose gospel it is, and in the Spirit who promises to speak through it. Peter calls us to a winsome speaking of that gospel. For while the gospel itself may be a stumbling block in this world, we are not to increase the offense of the gospel needlessly by adding to it our sinfulness. Oh, Peter would not have us separate these things. It is not simply the answer of holding on to the truth boldly or of speaking in gentleness and respect. Both belong together as the fruit of faith. We do not properly proclaim the gospel of Christ if we arrogantly lift ourselves over our Savior, nor do we act gently and respectfully if we compromise the gospel in a misled attempt to make it more appealing to those who don't want to hear its message. No, the truth of the gospel is to be proclaimed in its fullness, with gentleness, compassion, and faith. For so it has been delivered to us by our Savior, so we reflect it to his world. How do we live in a world that holds the Christ and his people in contempt? We do it in Christ Jesus. In him we are redeemed. In him we are given the gift of faith and filled with hope. He bids us share that hope to a world that needs it as we carry forth his name. In the name of Jesus, amen.